Welcome back to Word on the Hills with me, Gwen Sheltimer, my co-host, Felicity Signal-Reed, and our guest this week, Maggie Harper, winner of the Spirit of the Hills Poetry Contest this year, and Hope Bergeron, who told us about her writing in the first part of the show and who won the prose contest. Welcome, Maggie.
Thank you.
Maggie is a retired medical lab technologist with a love for words. She refers to her writing as vagabond prose. The daily ritual of haiku centers her and promotes focus. This process has nurtured respect for the discipline and work that writing requires. A novel lurks within her somewhere, she says. So, Maggie, have you always written, and when did you start writing? What prompted it?
I was very late to start school because my birthday's in January, so I was almost eight in September. My mother taught me to read out of self-defense, I think, and preservation. So I was already reading books before I went to school. And I think my first book was the summer I was eight. And it was about a detective who liked to find things. It was a weasel. And his last name was McGuire, and everyone called him McGuire.
Well, I obviously had an impression on you, if you can remember all that from so long ago.
I remember it was on the pink and blue lined paper, too.
Yeah. So did you then write as well from, you know, did that inspire you to write from that age?
I wrote him, yes.
You wrote that story?
I wrote the stories of Weasel, yes.
That's incredible.
Things disappear, as you know it as a child. Things disappear in your house. And I thought maybe he'd find things that were lost for me. So, you know.
Oh, that's adorable.
He was fun.
But now you don't write stories about detective weasels. You write haiku.
I do.
For our listeners, explain what a haiku is and then tell us why you choose that particular form.
Haiku is 17 syllables. It's ancient Japanese poetry. Some people find it plodding and methodical, but I don't. I love the rhythm of the 17. I wake up in the morning and I have a word in my head, gifted from who knows where, and that becomes the key word, depending on its syllables, for the 17 syllables. Mm. They traditionally are supposed to be about nature and the awakening of the inner spirit and spirituality. I just wing it and go wherever the word takes me that day. And it's a lot of fun because it's very grounding. When you have to stay within 17 syllables, you become very aware of what you say and the syllables within what you say.
It's a lot like making a really good sauce. You have to distill it down and get rid of all the excess.
And a teaspoon is a teaspoon in haiku.
Mm-hmm.
It doesn't change.
Did your medical career, by any chance, influence your writing in any way?
It does. It influences it very much. I am specialized in microbiology. And from that, I just went into any medical understanding I could get my hands on. I worked in mycology, a little bit in virology, you know, parasitology, anything that affects the body and makes it an unwell situation. Mm. I started to read about homeopathy, naturopathy, anything. And then I branched into reincarnation and how that heals the spirit and the soul. And so fantasy is what I write, and I take any healing modality I can expand into some kind of fantastical way, and that's what my characters do.
Huh. And how does that find its way into the haiku?
It doesn't. The haiku is the awakening of, okay, now we're focused, now we're going to spend time.
It's a meditation almost.
Yeah, it is. It truly is. It's almost a prayer, too.
Hmm. Great. You've mentioned that you write fantasy. Is this novels, short stories? Do you write in a lot of
short stories? I think the novel has been in the making for 50 years, so I'm not sure if it will ever. It's one of those things that I never seem to find the plot that suits me, and so then I move on to another story, and then I move on to another. So I'm trying to ground more in the fact that the character I choose has to finally complete her story. Mm-hmm. And that's what I'm doing now. I mean, I'm 65, you know, and if not now, when is the big question. And so
I hear you. I have a story just like that.
And it wanders around in the brain.
Exactly. And you know the ins and outs of your character's mind and everything else, but the story won't take shape as a plot.
My characters sit beside me and say, you know, I would never do that.
That's lovely. So what other writers have influenced you?
The last 2 years, I've been making it a mission to read all the Pulitzer Prize winners.
Oh, wow. That is a mission.
It is a mission. And I'm not doing that while on the mission. However, I have found that Pulitzers are based on the political views quite often at that time in history. Mm-hmm. So I just finished Shane Michener's South Pacific Tales, and I see, of course, that that was the war stories. And at that time, they wanted to commend that there were good things that had happened in the war. And so that was, I mean, a lot of his tales in that book are not happy tales, mm-hmm. but there's an optimism in it. And so that's why he probably won the Pulitzer that year.
Yeah.
And I have the list at home, and I look at every so often, and I'm like, God, I don't know if I want to read him or not. Oh.
Well, you don't have to, you know.
It's
a self-imposed project here.
It could be punishment or not. I read mostly, though, fantasy, science fiction. I like fantasy romance.
Mm.
Well, actually, all romance could be a fantasy if you really want to go there. But the romance in fantasy is different. It's mm-hmm. not about seeking out. It's usually a resistance pattern in
yes.
fantasy. They have a lot more to overcome than anybody else because they're able to throw thunderbolts or do all these fantastic things. And
that's
so
right.
I really enjoy thinking outside of boxes. I don't yeah. want to ever
and
be in a box.
Creating new worlds. Yeah.
World building. Oh, gosh. Yeah. yeah you can.
Well, that's a lot of fun, though.
It is. It really is.
Yeah. So other than your daily meditative haiku, do you have any other kind of writing program, ritual practice that you do?
I do a lot of free flow because I get stuck on words instead mm-hmm. of the intention of the paragraph. I'm like, oh, I really like that word. So the next thing I'm in some encyclopedia or the dictionary or the thesaurus looking at the words and going, wow, that's connected to this and that came from that. And I could use this as its complementary. And, oh, these two could be buddies. And then I realized, wait a minute, 45 minutes ago I was writing.
Yes.
And so it's true. I just love words. It's consuming.
It is.
Because yeah. when you can read the dictionary for something to read, you know you're in trouble.
Yes, absolutely. But it does make a good Sunday morning occupation, especially if
yes.
your partner likes words as much as you do, like mine.
Well, that's handy. That's very handy.
Now, you brought with you today, apparently, a short biography of yourself written in haiku.
I did.
So let's start by reading that, and then we'll talk about the contest.
Born into this world, carrying words in my mouth, seeking a release. Notions of wisdom escorting vagabond prose, haiku liberates. Units of meaning flowing from stylus to paper, behold, fruition. It's very short, 3 verses to give your whole life.
Mm-hmm. But it kind of follows the haiku, too, with its 3 lines, doesn't it?
Yeah, and its 3 lines. That really kind of sums up my life. The other things seem extraneous. Life is this minute, and if you dwell on what you've had in the past, you don't get the next minute. So that's part of the centering of haiku. I become very in the moment.
Hmm.
This morning I woke up with the word rambunctious. It's a very weird prose coming out of that one, but I'll work on it. Well, rambunctious is a word.
Yes, it is.
It is.
Okay, well, now tell us about the haiku that won the contest. You know, what prompted it? How did it take shape and so on?
Since it's a daily, I thought, okay, I'll send in a week of haiku. And each one is an event that caused it to happen, or the day before usually, to cause mm-hmm. the intention of the haiku to spring. So Sunday, I was in the mall watching 2 older people having an argument that wasn't an argument. It was their daily discussion with each other, the way they are all the time. And they threw questions at each other about whatever they were doing that day. And they were, I would guess, in their 80s. So this had been their whole foundation. And I saw them as these 2 archers with these quarrels, and they throwing them at each other all the time. And that was their life.
Oh, interesting.
A quarrel of quips, quirky, quiet quills and questions, Laughter steals my breath.
So the next one is about Monday.
It's about Monday. And I was sitting having my morning coffee, and I saw how light coming in the window also is silence. And if a physical manifestation can have an emotion, I would see light as having silence.
Hmm.
Light brings a silence to a tableau set for life I experience. Tuesday, I was carrying around a disgustingly stupid burden that wasn't mine. A burden so light, barely felt upon shoulders, yet weighted I was. And it was set to remind me that if it's not yours, why are you carrying it?
Mm-hmm.
Now, Wednesday was really funny. I was sitting downstairs, and I heard this little noise. It was in the spring, and I thought, oh, is that a mouse? Oh. And I really hate killing mice.
Yeah.
I heard your nibble, faint yet bold, just feet away. Moving in, are we? And I think that you can talk to animals, and I think you can also persuade them that perhaps your house isn't where they should live.
I'll have to remember that.
Well, I don't know if it works, but it didn't move in. Gardening on Thursday, sitting outside. And I've had a moment happen twice to me in my life where I'm gardening and a small insect or bird will come close, and it's like time slows. And actually, you can see, not the beating of their wings, not that slow, but you can tell that they're there and they're completely present in their self, their oneness. Mm-hmm. Buzzing by my ear, gentle, inquisitive squeak, baby hummingbird. And baby hummingbird squeak.
Yeah.
It's a very, very high-pitched little, you know. Friday, one of my granddaughters wouldn't stop sighing about something. And I know that sighing creates endorphins, so it does make us feel better the more we sigh.
That.
I don't think I should take it up as a habit all the time, but she was sighing, and I decided to see the humor in it rather than, oh, stop it. One sigh becomes echoes cascading into caverns of unstoppered ears. And the last one was just recently, and I was looking at the garden, and I had one flower left. All the rest had gone. And this one should not have been in bloom. Ooh. Iris solitaire, stunning white with purple beard, creative splendor.
Lovely. And a lovely note to end them on, too. So many thanks to Hope Bergeron, who we spoke to in the first segment, and Maggie Harper. And congratulations again, Maggie, on winning this year's Spirit of the Hills poetry contest. Now, the work that these two contest winners have been reading for us has been published in Hill Spirits 3, which has been just released by Blue Denim Press and is available from local bookstores and online at Amazon and Indigo. And if you'd like to connect with us here at the program, please send your comments, queries, or suggestions for whom we might interview in future programs to our website, wordonthehills.com. At the website, you'll find all our programs archived, so you can listen to them anywhere and anytime. We'd love to hear from you. Thanks for tuning in today. We hope you'll join us for another program next week, Sunday at 1 p.m. right here on Northumberland 897 Truly Local Radio.